This podcast is brought to you by the Compete Network, powered by Clue. If you're looking for the best product marketing or competitive intel content, go to the Compete Network by Clue at thecompetenetwork.com. There are hundreds of hours of content for you to binge there. Make sure to check it out. What's up, everyone? This is the Ready for Launch podcast, and this is a show where we break down product launches, share our favorites, and explain why they work. I'm Andy McOtter-Bicknell, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Mara Graminski and Jason Oakley. And the topic for today is a very product marketing specific topic. In fact, I'd say if you aren't a product marketer, this topic might be a little foreign to you. So we're going to be just talking to the real ones out there right now. Is best product showcase. So think of it like a curation of multiple product launches that really contribute to like a broader product or company narrative. And Tamara, you're the one who brought this topic up. You wanted to talk through it. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about your experience with product showcases and why they're important?
Sure. So I love this topic so much because it's a launch about launches. It's like the ultimate meta, right? So what is a product showcase? Maybe we start there because as you mentioned, not everyone might be like familiar with this concept. Essentially, it's a packaging or a bundling of a variety of different features and capabilities. Typically, we'll see this as a seasonal showcase, meaning it doesn't happen after like just a certain amount of products are released, but it'll happen maybe every 6 months or every quarter. And I think we'll probably see that come to life in some of the examples that we showed today. But why I think it's important is software companies in particular are shipping products so fast, like sometimes daily. And as a customer, it can be really hard to keep up with what's coming out. And then from a product marketing perspective, you don't want to be kind of promoting and marketing every single thing you're doing, right? We've talked before about the concept of a package launch, and this is like an even bigger package launch. So it's an opportunity to take a step back, really think about the right narrative that you want to deliver to your customers and the market, and then highlight products who maybe didn't have large launches while they were shipped along the way, or go back and double click on, you know, products that did have a launch, but now it's time to amplify them again. So I just think it's a super effective strategy. I think there's some things to look out for, which hopefully we'll get into today a bit, but yeah, big fan. And it's been something I've been observing as becoming more popular. So I thought it'd be a fun thing for us to cover today.
Yeah. It's interesting that like, when you think about a lot of different types of products, but when you think about the old way of software and how it was always something you'd install and it was not SaaS, they always had a new version of the software, like Windows, whatever, right? And so then it was always, hey, there's this new version and there would be a huge launch and it would come out like annually or something like that. And then SaaS and the more like agile development process created this world where the launches are just happening all the time. And I think then what you're seeing with these is like, it's kind of going back to that, hey, let's have like a massive launch with a ton packed into it. And it happens quarterly or twice a year or once a year or whatever. So it's interesting to see it like kind of some things are going back to the old way, or at least from a launch perspective.
I didn't even think about that before. Like that totally makes sense. You're totally right. And I remember getting like every single year is like the new Windows or whatever. I would see like commercials for it on TV, which is really funny now that I think about it. But it's, and even now that I'm thinking about this even more, it kind of even like harkens back. I feel like, you know, I mean, geez, like a lot of this is going to come back to like what Apple has done, like with like some of like their like annual like keynotes and like the big like Steve Jobs on stage kind of deals where they talk about like, oh, like here's like the new iOS or here's like the, you know, it's not just new product, like hardware that they're shipping, but it's like new features that they're coming out with, new enhancements that they have to bring to light. Otherwise people aren't like, unless you're like really tech forward and you're always looking for like the next cool thing, I'd say the majority of people, you know, like they just kind of go about their day using the same tool, doing the same like routine. And so it's like your way of really like kind of like waking people up and showing them like other really cool things that they can do with it.
Totally. I think this is super common in the consumer space, right? So Apple and their September keynote is a great example. Samsung also has a big event. I think it's called Galaxy Unpacked. But this is a much, I would say this has existed longer as a standardized kind of go-to-market tool or tactic in the consumer technology space. And I've only really started to notice it in the last few years in the SaaS kind of B2B space, and really in 2024, picking up steam personally.
Yeah, it's interesting to think, when you think about consumer products, for example, the launch is meant to drive a bunch of new sales of that product. Whereas I think when you get into the typical way of like launches today in SaaS, they're less about that. Or people would love that, but they're less of a, okay, we're releasing something new and it's huge. It's going to drive a ton of new revenue for us. Like Apple's launch every year, they launch a new iPhone and they want a ton of people to buy that new iPhone. It's, I think it's pretty interesting. Yeah, it'd be cool to, it's going to be cool to get into some of these.
And the other thing to like, that I've noticed is interesting is, you know, because we think of Apple and they're like these massive companies, they're, you know, tens of thousands of employees, but I've seen a lot of showcases lately from startups. Or maybe, you know, like it could be like larger startups or like mid-market, but like in either case, I think it's been really cool to see how people have been like adapting or like trying to like tweak it, like the concept of a showcase so that it fits like what they're doing. Because yeah, not everything can, you know, be like this big, like multi-billion dollar event. But it's just really about like how creative you can make it, and how you can like really lean on a few core pillars that we're going to be talking about today to really make it work for you. And so, yeah, I think it'll be really cool to talk about.
All right. So I have randomized. I'll save everyone from another drum roll.
Thank you.
We can just go right and do it.
Thank you. Thank you, God.
So the randomizer has spoken, and we are going to kick things off with Tamara.
Ooh.
Here we go.
All right.
All right. Stoked. Hey. You got this.
3, 2, 1.
So I talked a little bit about how this idea of the showcase in the B2B SaaS space has really only been something that I've been watching the past few years. And I would say the very first one that ever came across my radar was Shopify Editions. And so I'm going to talk about Shopify Editions today for a couple different reasons. What is Shopify Editions? So Shopify Editions began in 2022. So it's only a few years old. And they're published every 6 months. Each edition is a rundown of everything they've built, released, and launched in the previous two quarters. And what's crazy is the first Shopify Editions publication actually debuted over 100 new features, and they've stayed consistent every edition since. So these are massive kind of launch showcases here. They're not just a few little features. There's three reasons why I think that Shopify Editions is the gold standard in their product showcases. And I think why at the end of the episode, we'll see how many others were actually inspired by what Shopify has done. And the reasons are, first, theming. And they leverage theming in a very sophisticated way. The second one is the concept of interaction and kind of going beyond just a showcase. And the third is Easter eggs and a little bit of surprise and delight for super fans. So let's go into themes. So editions aren't just a reverse engineered packaging of capabilities like a lot of other product showcases. So one of the things I think people fall down with this is they kind of do this retroactively. They say, what did we ship the last 6 months or this last year? How do we package it all together? Shopify actually starts with the theme in mind and then works backwards. So it's thoughtful. It's intentional. Each edition gets a theme. The first year that they had Shopify Editions, the theme was Connect the Consumer. This most recent edition was themed all around foundations. And so I'm going to talk today about, at the macro level, Shopify Editions, and then at kind of the micro level, the current showcase, which is the winter 2024 edition. And so I actually did some research, and the head of product was interviewed in Lenny's newsletter. And he talks about how this concept of themes is actually really important to how Shopify builds and releases product overall, not just the editions. And so I guess each year, the CEO, Toby, he sets these annual themes for the business. And it's these themes that are then turned into a six-month roadmap. And then that six-month roadmap become the launches that feed into each edition. And the head of product has this quote, which I think was just awesome, because I feel like so often product is afraid to say something like this. But he says, we want to have very high confidence in what's going to be shipping in the next edition and some idea about what will go into the one after that. And so what I kind of read between the lines here is editions aren't just a marketing initiative. They're like a company initiative overall. And it's actually like the leading thing they're all working towards, which I just thought was so cool. And really comes out when you look at the quality of what they're producing. Second reason why I love Shopify Edition is the interactive element. So yes, Shopify Editions is a website, but it's also so much more than a website. It's this really fully immersive digital experience. The site itself is beautiful. I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to check it out. Each theme has its own branding, colorway, iconography. They feel unique and they feel like just beautiful is the only word I could really use to describe it. And that itself is amazing and probably better than what most companies do. But what I love the most is they weave text and video together. So as you actually move through the page, which is very text heavy, like a regular landing page would be, there's these little video bubbles that I don't even know, you might not have noticed it the first time. They fade into the background. All you can tell is because it looks like an animated face. And when you click on it, it actually pops up to reveal a highly produced video. So the first one that you're going to encounter is at the top of the page. It's 18 minutes long and it sets the stage for the edition overall. They call it, if you look at the title, it's like the product demo or the edition demo. But as you move down through the page, the other little videos are providing additional context about each of the different sections or micro themes within the broader theme. And they're all about 3 to 5 minutes long. And I just love how they've handled this video component to the edition because a lot of folks will have like a live launch event, but this is pre-produced. So they're not making customers attend this event at a specific time if it conflicts with their calendar. You're not having to watch a 2-hour launch event. It's super digestible. You can watch it in bite-sized chunks and you don't even have to watch the whole video. It's not like you have to, you know, fast forward through to the part that matters to you. You just have to go to the part on the page that matters to you. Click in and you'll get to see the video that is relevant to the content that you want to see. So I just thought that was super cool. And now my favorite part, Easter eggs. I love surprise and delight. You guys know how I love an Easter egg. Taylor Swift is the queen of this, but turns out Shopify is also pretty good at it. And so I actually found one when I was playing around with the winter 2024 edition. This isn't something that I've noticed in all of the editions, but maybe I haven't spent enough time in that. So I get to the very bottom of the page right before the footer. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but there's this little rotating video game cartridge. It looks like a retro video game cartridge. And the name on it is called Chill Hill. So I don't know what to make of it, but I click on it. When you click on it, a video game console pops up and it's a whole video game that's been designed in the exact theme of the edition. The colorway is the exact same. The like structures and design of the page are in the video game. And it's winter themed because it's a winter themed edition. But here's what I love about the most. After you play the game, because I played around with it, it asks you if you want to share your score. So I hit, okay, well, what happens if I share my score? This links out to a pre-populated tweet that then drives traffic back to the edition. So they've literally baked in a product-led growth loop right into the product showcase. And so I just love it because it's whimsical, it's playful, but it's also such a smart marketing tactic. So loved that. And I'm not the only one that loves Shopify editions. This most recent one in particular got a lot of awards and praise publicly. So it actually won 2 Webby Awards, which are basically awards for really beautiful kind of internet sites and experiences. They won the Best Business Website Award for this edition, which was awesome. And then they also won like a Public Voice or Public Choice Award for this edition as well. And I think when we look at the market and we look at what are other companies doing, almost always it's pretty clear to see the influence that Shopify Editions has had on what we would now consider the modern day kind of product showcase. And yet, even though they're 6 editions in, they're still finding ways to make each edition feel special and unique. It doesn't feel overly templatized either. So that's it. I'm curious to know, like, first, did you guys see the Easter egg when you were playing around on it?
I didn't see the Easter egg. I saw the site. I thought the like opening hero, if you want to call it that, of the site. Yeah. It's really cool. And then it, when you scroll down, it's like you kind of get shot off to the side, which is awesome. It's very interactive and cool. I didn't make the way to the game though. I want to go check that out right now.
Yeah. So that item at the top in the hero is exactly the like cube structure that's in the game as way. And no, you're like this little Yeti, I guess, making your way down it. It's super cute. Go check it out.
That's cool. Yeah, I love that idea. I think it's like, I'd be curious to know how many people actually went down and played the game. I bet you it's one of those things where they must know that a lot of people who have Shopify stores are like into games, right? Or are like interested. Yeah. And I wonder how they like leaked that out. Like, any idea of how they told people about that? Or is they just literally expected people to pick it up on their own?
I think it was an Easter egg. And then, of course, if you do share the score, you would find it on Twitter. Yeah. So I tried to do a bit of digging to see if there was any stats. Nothing really showed up, although there were a lot of people being like, there was a whole Reddit thing about like, I have the highest score on Chill Hill, or how do you get past this certain part? So it's like, people are spiraling on this one thing, which is hilarious.
People go crazy over that. That's kind of like it's like Wordle back, back during the pandemic. Yeah. Like all of a sudden you saw like these like little square colored icons and like you didn't even know like what it was for. But like so many people like would click into the link and like that drove like all that awareness. That was probably like the biggest example of like a game driving so much like awareness almost like out of nothing, but like through social sharing. The other thing that I thought was really interesting that tomorrow was that they get the theme from their CEO first, and then it turns into product that marketing ultimately like piggybacks off of. Whereas I feel like the majority of time, I guess I can't speak for everyone, but I feel like the majority of time, like you have product updates and then it's up to marketing to kind of figure out like what to do with it. And it poses like a really big challenge. And I think that, you know, anybody who is in that situation are probably going to have a little bit more of a tough time putting together a showcase, because it's like it's going to be really hard to put together like a cohesive theme that ties really all these product updates together unless they're built and shipped with that theme in mind already. I just feel like it gives Shopify like a really like big advantage in that area.
Yeah, it's almost like a lot of times the theme is just like a marketing. It's only talked about in marketing.
Yeah.
Right. And the marketing team cares about the theme, but no one else in the company does. And this is, in these types of cases, it's like a company-wide theme for half the year, which is cool.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine too, like inside the company for the 6 months leading up to that, I wonder how much the theme is talked about and how much it like drives the way people think in leading up to that launch. I bet you a lot.
It sounded like a lot. Maybe we can also link out to that newsletter. It was actually very interesting because I talked about it. But it does sound like the themes are really important. It is company-wide themes. They anchor a lot of the conversations at the company and guide the intentionality of the product roadmap, but also the marketing roadmap. I'm curious, I know a few people at Shopify, but no one to get, in a fast enough turnaround, I should say, but I'm curious what came first. I wonder if this idea of theming has always been at Shopify. And then they said, wow, wouldn't it be cool if we actually publicly shared what the theme was? Or I wonder if the first Shopify editions came out and then they said, wow, this worked really well. Let's reverse engineer and have themes. That would be something I'd be curious to learn more about. So if you work at Shopify and you do have an insight, we'd love for you to message us and let us know what came first, the chicken or the egg.
And I will just say, like, kudos to Shopify for having a theme and sticking with it for 6 months. Like, I think that sounds great on paper. Especially for us in like startup land, I think it's very common for us to like have a theme maybe, but only for like a month and a half or a couple months, or like these kind of goals that like measure up to like these themes. But then like, oh, something happens and we got to pivot. And that's natural. Like that's kind of the point of being a startup, is being like really nimble and being able to like realign under something else that's really important. But I think it's really commendable to also like have a theme, be consistent, stick with it for a period of time, and then take stock and then figure out, okay, like what's the next big move after 6 months.
So go to maven.com and search for Ready for Launch to sign up for our next cohort. Look forward to seeing you there.
Next on the randomizer, second place here is Jason.
Jason.
Yeah.
Here we go.
3, 2, 1.
Okay. So the showcase that I'm going to talk about today is Spotlight. So that is HubSpot's biannual. So every 6 months, their product showcase that they just launched, just the beginning of this year, actually. And so HubSpot's product, like they've had what they call a product spotlight, which if you Google it, you'll probably see videos of their product spotlight. And they used to be monthly videos, probably an email too. That would just be a roll up of all the new products that they launched or features they released. And that's pretty standard. A lot of SaaS companies do that. But Spotlight takes it to a whole new level. And there's a lot of similarities to what you just talked about tomorrow. And But I'll talk about a couple of specific things that I really like about Spotlight. And we actually had the chance to talk with the program manager of Spotlight and to get a couple of like inside kind of takes on it too. But with Spotlight, basically it's twice a year. So it's come, first one came out at the beginning of this year, and it's every 6 months, right? And it's meant to help customers stay on top of everything new in their platform and take advantage of it. And I kind of like how they frame it. If you go on the page, and I'll talk more about the page, but it's hubspot.com/spotlight. Right? And I like the way that they frame it, because they talk about this idea of they create it, and they, the way they position it, it's all about helping the customer. So it's about how do we help people take advantage of our platform, because there's so much happening in it. And I just kind of like about, they're not using it as a way to say, hey, we're the most innovative and we're doing all these things and we're like moving the needle on X, Y, and Z. They're really saying, hey, we want to create this because we want to help you. The way that they frame it is actually reinvent your company or go through a reinvention. So this quote from their head of product, or senior vice president of product, his name's Andy Petrie. Marketing, sales, and service teams are going through a major shift as technology and customer expectations evolve. If these customer-facing teams don't have the right tools, businesses won't grow. Right now, innovation happens in days, not years. It's a huge opportunity for small businesses. Keeping up with the pace of innovation can be daunting. That's why we've launched Spotlight, to make it easy for our customers to take advantage of everything that HubSpot has built for their reinvention. And so I like the way that they frame it. I also like how they call out SMBs in this case too, which is like their target customer. And this idea of reinvention is, in this case, the theme that I'm kind of seeing through this. So if you go to the Spotlight page, first thing you'll see in the hero is reinvention starts here. Businesses have to pivot with the times, but today's new AI landscape and shifting customer demands call for true reinvention. So what they explain in, they have a whole video there as well, it explains it, but they say that when you look at sales, customer service, and marketing, there are this, we're in this like new world of like changing demands from these teams, and with AI, that they kind of say like, alone, these things would require company shift. Altogether, you really need to kind of reinvent yourself. And so they're like, we're here to help you with that reinvention. And then they walk you through the different ways they do it. And so when you go to this page, it really aligns it with like their, I believe it's like Commerce Hub, Marketing Hub, Commerce Hub, Service Hub, maybe Sales Hub. It aligns it with these three different hubs, which are like components or like products within their overall suite. And then HubSpot AI. So this page breaks it down into those sub themes, so that if you go there, it's very easy to kind of find what's new that's relevant to you or your department within your company. So a couple of things that I also like, I really like about this approach with the, that they're doing here is, and I actually got this from Jamie Hill is his name. So he's the Spotlight manager. So he manages the Spotlight program, and he's actually a graduate from our course. So he was in the last cohort. So big shout out to Jamie. And so yeah, I know, it's awesome. And so he gave me a couple like inside details there. So one thing is, he said one benefit of doing this that they saw is it makes things more efficient. And so like some things you don't always think about. So like when you have everyone working towards the same launch deadline, you look at a team like legal, for example, and if they're having to like basically work with all these launches that are happening every quarter or a couple of every different, like a couple or two or three every quarter throughout a year, they're having to do a lot of the same work in multiple different points in time to service these different launches. With one big one like this, there's a lot of overlapping things that can create efficiencies. And so they can do a lot of that work across multiple different products and things that are launching and going out in this launch, which can help them create efficiencies. He said the same thing happens with like SEO. So it helps them create efficiency by having everyone just kind of rowing towards these two major launches throughout the year. The other thing that I like, and it'd be the same thing with Shopify too, is this, it's this one page to drive everyone to. So talk about the page for a second. Very similar to what you were talking about, Tamara, in that it's an interactive page, a lot of high production value video, right? And it breaks it down in a way where this is essentially a microsite that is a great resource to be able to find out what's new with this product. So you have it broken down by theme as you go through the page, but then at the bottom, it also just has a very easily filterable view of 117 different products. And you can filter by category, product line, all that. The cool thing though is that cross-functional teams, think of it like paid media, social, email, they could be more strategic and build a bigger, more impactful campaign and just drive traffic to one page versus, like you had mentioned, like an event, maybe a different blog post and all of that. No, they're driving them to one page. You even look at like their YouTube videos, social posts, even when partners talk about it, because naturally you're going to have partners involved in these launches too. they are driving everyone to that page. So from like an SEO perspective, even, it is huge to have that one page that remains static and you continue to update that as the different spotlights happen throughout the year. The idea of everyone rallying around this launch, even throughout the company, but he didn't specifically talk about like everyone's rallying all year long around this theme, but I can imagine similar things probably happening there. But it's great to have everyone in the company just focused on this one, this upcoming product launch happening twice a year, and everyone can focus on that same thing and get ready for it. And it just happens twice a year versus multiple times in a quarter. A couple of tips he gave. So one, I really like the idea of how they have a spotlight manager. And even though it's across multiple product lines and everything, it's interesting how they have Jamie, who is the spotlight manager, right? So obviously I'm sure it takes a ton of people to execute on this, but having one person who's managing the project makes a big difference. And he even said like going into their planning meetings, he would have like lead in and intro and outro music to them. And he would try to keep the vibes really high. And so it was really cool to hear that. So I think for them, you know, bottom line, it makes it easier for them to plan and work together as a company. It gave them the opportunity for like a big brand movement, but also it's a pipeline driver. So you go to this page and get a demo is like their big CTA, right? And so it's helpful for customers, ton of value in it for customers, but it's also driving pipeline. Apparently it's doing that pretty well right now. So very cool example, a lot of similarities to the Shopify too, but it's cool to see, you know, multiple examples like this actually working. So that's fine.
I didn't realize that Jamie was working on this. That's so fun. Love that
He was talking about it a little bit in the cohort, like just like he didn't say that it was spotlight, but he said like, oh, it's for a big project I'm working on. And then after the cohort got done, it like launched and I was like, hey, oh, that's so cool. So yeah, big props.
I remember that, but I didn't remember connecting it to the spotlight. So that's so cool. Yeah. I love that. This is even more meta. This
I know. Yeah, exactly.
About
lots
launches.
Of product launches.
Yeah,
run by people who took our launch course.
It's interesting too, because like I do really think you do need one person at the top. Like he talked about how he was like, hey, you've got to have all the project management in one place. So for them, they use Asana and it's like all in there. Even though it's a massive project, they bring everyone together under one project in Asana, because you can imagine it's like tons of different, 117 different things happening. And so it's having that one person to, or even a team or whatever, to wrangle this project, because it is in itself a launch about a bunch of launches. So
one thing you mentioned that I thought was interesting is this idea of like marketing efficiency, which, you know, I think someone looking from the outside might say like, this is cool, but these are big companies and this must take a lot of time and resources. But I do think there's something to it of like, yes, and a small company can still do this, because imagine for, you know, you're doing, let's say, 5-6 launches over 6 months, every launch gets its own blog post, a handful of emails, social campaign. What if you just dialed those down slightly and then focus a portion of those effort and resources on this one amazing asset that then is going to live on and serve all of these different purposes? I really do think not only are you going to get more collaboration and probably better ideas because the team is working on like this larger kind of higher impact thing, but I do think you will get efficiency at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like I was thinking about that of like, is this a suitable strategy for small startups? And I wonder if there's,
like, I think it's still one of those all hands on deck situations. I think regardless of like, if you're HubSpot or if you're like a startup, it's one of those things where you got to have like a lot of different people helping out across your org. But I totally agree with you, Tamara. Like I can see this being also like an indirect way of pushing for launch tiering. Like, we're not going to put all our resources into this tier 3 launch, but it'll get an extra bump when we like include it with all the other really high priority launches that we're going to be showcasing in 6 months, like that kind of a thing. And you can kind of get away with like, again, not going like 100% with every single thing, because you know it'll probably reach the people that it needs to reach that first go round, but then the second go round really get like another kind of like chance to shine.
What I like about it too is when I'm just even thinking about it right now, it's usually when you are working on a, like throughout the year, you might want to have, you know, mention to, like obviously tell customers about things as they happen. But when you, like throughout a year, if you don't have something that's like a major product improvement, right, like a major new product or something like that, then it's hard to have this like big moment and this big event to rally everyone in the company around and like make a big splash about. But if you continuously are doing like a tier three, tier four, and you kind of do those on a very small scale, but then twice a year, you are bundling everything together and you have this like showcase that you do twice a year. It gives you a way to, you know, and in this case, maybe you're going back and then kind of retroactively trying to find a theme, but I do think it gives you a way to have a big kind of impactful moment or event without necessarily needing to like have some dramatic change in your product.
I also think that it actually gives a really great filter for you as a company and like as a product management and product marketing team to ask, are we building and bringing to market the right things? Because I could also imagine a conversation where, you know, you have a theme, you know, 80% of the things fit into the theme. And then there's a conversation around how do we fit this other stuff in? And it's like, okay, if we have to fit this in, should we even be building it? You know, like what is the purpose of this thing? And so I actually think if you're intentional enough to set the theme ahead of time, this could guide a lot of strategic conversations around like, are we building the right things? Why this? Why now? And does this support what we're trying to say to customers in the market as an organization this quarter or this H1, H2, whatever it might be?
Yeah. Like if you do a couple of these in a row and you're in 1 year and you're like, every time it just feels like we're trying to fit something in somewhere, then you're like, what kind of product strategy do we actually have?
Exactly.
All right. There's only one person left.
Here we go, baby. All eyes on me now. Let's get it.
3, 2, 1.
All right. So before I share my pick, I'm going to pull a classic ready for launch move here. All right. I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to share my criteria for a great product showcase. There are three that I think make up a really great one. Okay. So the first is theme. And so just like tomorrow. I know, exactly. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
And he was like writing this down. It's weird.
I swear to God.
The second is interaction.
No Easter eggs in mine. Okay. So like, hear me out. It's going to be a little bit different. Okay. This is one that sounds really easy. All right, everyone forget that tomorrow went. We're going to do like a quick, like wipe your memory. Okay. There's only so many criteria for a product showcase. Okay. So here's my spin on it. All right. I think that this is really important, but again, it's really hard to execute on because themes have to A, really deeply resonate with your audience, and B, they have to honestly connect with all the different features that you're showing in your showcase. That might be okay if you have like three or four new features, right? That's pretty easy. Just connect that up with a theme, whatever. But a lot of showcases, like the one you talked about, Tamara, and the one you talked about, Jason, like HubSpot and Shopify, there's like dozens, sometimes hundreds of features. And so you can't just like mindlessly put a theme on top of everything like that. It's just not going to really come across as authentic. So if you're not careful, you're just going to be stuffing a bunch of stuff together and it won't be cohesive. So the theme is number one, very, very important. The second is product. Okay, so I didn't fully copy Tamara. So, but I will say, not a ton to say here. You know, you have to have interesting products for your product showcase. Where I think most people get freaked out here is like, oh my God, these companies are showcasing hundreds or dozens of products, whatever. For a smaller company, we'd never be able to pull that off. And again, if you didn't catch it earlier, like let me let you in on a little startup secret, okay? What if I were to tell you that most of the products that these companies are showcasing, even Shopify, even HubSpot, they're not actually new. They're actually positioning them. They're repositioning them or re-showcasing them after they've already been to market. Okay, so that's a really key point. Okay, so they had their time in the spotlight, and they're also now bringing them back in, and they're also you know being showcased alongside some net new robust products. Okay, so it gives them some more time to shine. And then the last thing that I think is very, very key and also unique to my argument is virality. Okay, so think of the word showcase, right? So that has a different feeling than something like release notes. It's an opportunity to make a very huge marketable moment and should be an event that you put tons of resources into, you know, relative to obviously like your company size. We've said it doesn't have to be like millions of dollars, but it should be like a worthy like investment for your company in hopes that like people catch on and that they share it. Those are the goals. Okay, so I'm halfway through my pitch and I haven't even told you who I picked. My pick is Canva Create 2024. Okay, ooh. So that is the big pick. And let's go through the criteria and I'll tell you exactly why I picked them. Okay, so theme. The theme for Canva Create 2024 was all about Canva's shifting from supporting solely individuals to now supporting organizations. But this isn't just like some random theme that they threw out there, right? This is very intentional. It's part of a broader story, which is, hey, we launched Canva 10 years ago, and our goal was to empower individuals to unlock their creativity. Now we're going to enter into a new phase to focus not only on individuals, but also organizations, which to me totally makes sense. This is a natural progression for most companies once they hit like that kind of like stage in their maturity. But it also doesn't show them abandoning their original mission, which I think is very important. Now, the second is product, right? They also had an in-app experience that guided people through everything. And this is a very unique thing that just Canva did, HubSpot, nor Shopify, from what I understand. You could totally prove me wrong, by the way. I didn't do my research into HubSpot or into Shopify for this. But I thought it was super, super unique. I haven't seen this really take place in an actual product. And this isn't like a, like, oh, we're just going to throw together like a last minute haphazard, like in-app walkthrough. Like it's a fully fleshed out, unique experience that shows you what's possible with this new product showcase and then gives you the option to get started if you want. So like literally you can click in and then, oh, I see a really cool new feature that has like dedicated video, like copy, all the same things that you would typically see in like these sites that we talked about, but also the option to get started within the platform because you're already logged in. So I thought that that was a really, really great way of not just like showcasing, but like executing and getting people bought in and adopting because they do have a really large user base. Again, they're primarily individual users. And so that's one of the key levers. Like one of their best channels is like their actual platform to get people to expand and drive more adoption to these like organization features. And the last thing that I'll talk about is virality. So did Canva obtain virality with their Create 2024 showcase? Hell yeah, they did. So by the time this airs, it'll probably be a few weeks after Canva Create took place. But within a couple of days of the event, they went viral for an onstage rap performance that had a ton of people in my timeline talking. And it was polarizing because a lot of people said that the performance was really cringy, which I think it was too. But that's kind of the point. And it was polarizing, but not offensive. It got people talking and gave Canva a ton of extra airspace beyond just their own owned channels. I don't think that, you know, all press is good press, but this is one of those situations where I think something seems negative on the surface, but it's actually very, very positive. Okay, so that's the end of my pitch for Canva Create.
I really like the idea of the in-app stuff. Like I think that you know, I almost think like imagine if both for Shopify and for HubSpot, if the showcase page, I know this wouldn't be great for people outside of your user base, but imagine if it was in the app and every time that you were highlighting something and like showing like, hey, this is a new thing that we have, it always drive them back to learn more about it in your showcase. Right. So then they're naturally just seeing other things. It'd be really interesting where they like cross end up kind of seeing one thing, but then getting to your showcase, which highlights a number of other things. I think it's cool that it's in app. And I would imagine from an adoption perspective, and I'm a Canva user, I haven't logged in, I guess, since, is I would imagine it would actually help drive adoption of these new things too. So the fact that it's in app is pretty awesome.
It's really easy. And it's also not like, like when I think of in app guides or experiences, I think of like these like really like pushy, forced experiences where it's like, hey, we've got this new stuff, have to look through this entire guide. You can't click out of it. Very aggressive. And it like really turns me off as a user. But you know, for them, it on their homepage, you can choose to click into it if you want to, or if you don't, you can totally ignore it or X out. And then when you do click into it, it's still just very much more like it's very much like a funnel kind of, there's like a top of funnel, like for like when you first log in, then there's middle of the funnel when they're kind of like promoting like some of the individual features, and then bottom of funnel, like when you're actually like wanting to check out the features yourself.
I love that. And I think one of the things I'm taking away from this episode, because we all mentioned it individually, was this idea of allowing customers or prospects to self-select and like choose what they want to digest out of your showcase. I think where folks get it wrong is, like you said, it's like this guided experience where you can't you know, go around. And that could feel really overwhelming, especially if there is 100, you know, features or more. But all three of these, I think, did an amazing job of being like, here's an a la carte menu, choose what you want. And, you know, you can eat as much of it as you want or as little. And we're going to make it really easy for you to navigate your way around. So that's a lesson I'm taking away from this for sure.
Yeah, I think I feel like you kind of touched on it in yours, Tamara, but it's this concept of surprise and delight. This isn't as much surprise, I guess I should say, but it's really heavy on the delight aspect, where I think that that's going to be, well, I think it already is, but I think it's going to continue to be a big competitive advantage for a lot of tools and software moving forward. Because again, there's, I mean, you know, find another like design tool. You know, there's hundreds of design tools out there that can really, at the end of the day, do the same thing. But I think that Canva's ability to make things really nice to use, an enjoyable experience, which is, it's really hard to kind of quantify some of that stuff. It's really like a feeling at the end of the day. But like, I think that HubSpot did a great job with like their showcase. I think that Shopify did a great job with theirs too, where it's like, even the product updates are a delightful experience beyond just like the platform itself.
Speaking of delightful experiences.
Are you adding that?
I wanted to talk about the wrap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about
you
the
go wrap. Ahead. Yeah. Talk about the wrap. Go ahead.
So
yeah.
Sorry, Jason, but it's okay.
No, it needs to be talked about.
I might get called out for this, but I like the wrap and I don't mind putting it on record here on this podcast. And let me tell you why. First of all, beyond Canva being an awesome product, the brand is so fun and whimsical. Like you log in, there's always confetti. It's like fun, bright colors. It feels like a party all the time. Like if I had to describe the brand, it feels like a birthday party brand almost to me. And like they have fun naming. They're just like whimsical in general. And second of all, I think they've tapped into a trend that actually is existing. And maybe it's just a micro trend rather than a macro trend, but like they're not the first people to create a sales wrap. So Ding has been creating sales wraps for a couple of years now. We were just at Winter, Andy and I, and at the Winter conference, there was a rap battle, which literally it was a marketing and sales song rap battle that happened on stage. So my take is love it. I think it was viral. I think they knew what they were doing. It's actually pretty educational. I like watched the video and I was like, oh yeah, I understand what they're trying
like
to communicate.
To yourself.
Yeah, like yeah. I now know that they are secure. Yeah, like they have like enterprise
exactly.
level security.
SSO.
I do wonder how much of it was like, let's make this as cringy as possible and see if it can
I think
get,
so.
Like, get viral in that way. Like if they did, if that was their intention, they crushed it. Because
I think so. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and assume yeah. that that was the case. I don't think anyone there thought that they were like, doing
legit.
Something serious.
I don't think
know?
Anyone who makes a rap
well, it's
song
all,
in
it's all,
first
like, it's
product
all, it's
is
it's entertainment.
Serious.
Yeah. It's entertainment. Yeah.
That's yeah. what it is. Yeah, yeah. You want something that people are gonna continue watching, that they can that's shareable. Like I mean, come on. Yeah, at the end of the day, I think that is job. I don't know like how intentional you know, like getting memed and like whatever was, but that's again, that's not really the point. The point is to create something that's again entertaining. Hope that it is different enough that like kind of speaks beyond like your traditional like what your product does and like use cases and stuff and like is easy to commentate on, which it very much was. So yeah, I think it was very much a net positive.
All right, should we get to voting?
Let's vote. Let's do it.
Also, I think we should make a ready for launch wrap off all this rap talk.
Ooh, we could invite Ding to do one for us.
There you go.
I can make the beat. That's it. I'm not rapping.
Jason, you're on the hook.
I'll just watch.
You're singing the hook.
I just want
I
everyone
do,
to
I
have
can
fun.
Do part of this. I can do like the singing part. I'll break out.
You can do the ad libs.
There you go.
Dude, you crack me up. what could you possibly be doing right now?
Yeah.
You remind me of that meme of like the you remind me of that meme of like the lady like doing like the calculations like in her head
yes,
like right. against like a whiteboard. It's like
is the math when, not mathing?
Oh, hold on. That it's actually my bad.
Oh no, Jason.
I'm just like looking blank. Yeah, he's like look staring at Grayson.
Were you guys talking about me or talking about Jason?
Andy and I were roasting Grayson.
We were just roasting Grayson.
You're
roasting you, dude.
No, I was waiting for I think you guys were roasting Jason. That's how not aware I am.
Oh, that's my crazy. God. That was
That's too funny.
Gold.
All right.
I was waiting for Jason.
And then you like didn't. I was like, oh, are you playing into the bit? Like, you're really committed, dude.
The results are in. There is a winner. Everyone, I just want to remind, this is the 9th episode.
Oh, no.
There is one final episode. Next episode, we'll decide the winner. And the winner of today is Andy. We have a 3-way tie going into the final episode.
How did you plan this?
What? No way. Oh, my God. You guys are funny. Okay. You guys are funny.
Research, Andy. It's just based on the launch.
I think they did a good job.
Yeah. And I said just afterwards, like, I love the in-app. I like the in-app nature of it. Like, both Shopify and HubSpot, like, it is a like an external landing page, and it's more telling you about everything, but it's not driving you into the app and getting you to use these things. And I like, because being a user of Canva, like, I see it, and I also see too how like they promote the event. They just have a lot tied into like the user experience of their product, which is really cool. And yeah, I just thought everything they did, it's interesting because so much of their showcase is tied to an event, like a live event, which is different, right? That and in their product are kind of like the two areas where you really see it. And I don't know.
I voted because I couldn't vote for myself. Otherwise I would have. and the sales rap. It was the sales rap for me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Okay. That is had nothing hilarious. To do with you. It's crazy how something so small relative to all the other, you know, stuff that they like shipped, like in the product, like how that like was kind of like the catalyst for all the attention that they got. I'm sure that like in the moment, kind of like, come on, like look at all the product stuff. But at the end of the day, I think that, you know, the net positive of like everyone paying attention to like your event, your showcase, it really makes a huge difference, because you're capturing so many more people outside of just like the people who are interested in Canva.
I also just like seeing them make a big shift in their product strategy and like company strategy, like going up market, going to like larger enterprises, talking about like, I think it's pronounced SKIM, and like all those like enterprise security things is it's interesting. It's like a fun way to launch that. I don't think I've seen a rap battle to launch enterprise security before, which is a rap song. So
I thought that this was going to be, oh, well, this is now now Jason and Tamara are strictly in the competition. Andy is out. That's where I thought that was going. Okay.
Whoever wins next episode is the winner. We have a 3-way tie going to the final. No, this makes it the most exciting it could possibly be. Whoever wins episode is the winner.
So if you're tuning in and you stayed until this point in the episode, make sure that you turn into the next episode, because it is our last one of the season. So it's episode 10. And as you now know, it is a 3-way tie. So tune in the next episode to see who the winner will be. We don't know what the topic is yet, but definitely tune in. And if you're watching this too, go and vote on this episode. So I'll go to my page. I just dropped the post and you can vote for what you think your favorite product showcase is. So that's it. We'll see you on the next one.